In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. This is one of my favorite stories today. I always have to read it with the other time that the apostles fished to really understand the full meaning. It's really a beautiful transition that's made in 3.5 years of ministry. What happens to the apostles over that time? This first occurrence, which we read today, where the apostles fished, they had not yet been called as apostles. And Jesus was just beginning his ministry, doing some preaching, and had not yet assembled the core apostles. So, after they had fished all night, they had come back to the land, and they were mending their nets. They couldn't do much about the fact that all they had to do was, you know, fix their broken nets, which had brought them no fish. And Jesus said, let one of your boats out so that I can preach. So he did. And then he tells the Apostle Peter, let down your nets for a draught. Well, anybody who knows fishing in those days knows that in the middle of the day, you're not going to catch fish. They caught fish at night. But Peter said this interesting thing. We have toiled all night. We've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, he didn't really know Christ yet, didn't know who he was, but he was obedient. This obedience is very necessary. It's obedience in the Christian life is based upon faith, which means we know something's going to happen, we just don't know when. But we don't see it happening, and we don't predicate our obedience on seeing it happening. We just know that the Lord will provide. And so indeed the Lord did. They caught all these fish, so much that the ships were sinking, the two ships. And their net broke because there were so many fish. So then Peter sees this great miracle and understands that he's in the presence of God. So he says, Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. Now let's go to the next time they fished. This was after resurrection, the third time that they saw Jesus. Only John talks about this. And they were fishing, or they had come back from fishing, and they were still in the boat. And the Lord says, children, do you have any fish? And they called to him from the shore to the shore, no. They didn't recognize him. So he said, put down your nets on the right side for a draught. They didn't complain. They didn't say, well, we fished all night. And they did, and they caught so many fish. And Peter recognized then that it was the Lord. And so he put on his fisher's cloak and he swam as quickly as he could to shore just to be with the Lord. And then the disciples, in a boat that was not sinking, was handling all the fish, brought the net to the shore, and Peter pulled it up, and there were 150 and three fish, and yet the net was not broken. So there's big differences between the first story and the second, and I want to talk about those differences. Now, I've told you many times before, and I mean it with all of my heart, I hope that there are things in your heart that hurt. I hope there are things that you just don't like and you want to change. I hope that you're not satisfied with the kind of person you are, with the way you think, with your priorities, with how you spend your time, with how you react to different things. I hope that those kinds of things that are not like God stand out to you and make you very sad and make you want to change. You should not be satisfied with your life if you're a Christian. It doesn't mean we're down in the dumps about our life and feeling depressed. But we're aiming for perfection. Not just to live a happy life. We want to be perfected as the Lord has said we will be. So you have to feel that tension in your life. It's a difficult tension to feel sometimes. Sometimes there's stuff in you that's really pretty far from perfect. And I dare say that everyone in this room who has these kinds of thoughts, I don't dare say that everyone in these rooms has thoughts like this. Perhaps some of you are a little dead to these kinds of thoughts, and that's very dangerous. I want you to feel these thoughts. I want you to aspire for perfection and feel your imperfection. Feel your mortality. And I don't mean that you're just can get sick and can die. I mean that you are far from perfection, and yet God wants you to be perfect. So I'm not convinced that everyone has these thoughts, but most of you probably do. And when you have these thoughts, sometimes they're pretty overwhelming. And you think, I can't get this done. I can't stop this sin. I can't change my behavior in this particular way. I've been lazy for 30 years. I guess I'll be lazy for another 30 years or 40 years, and then I'll die. We have thoughts like that. Well, this story, these two stories together, which I consider to be one story, although they're separated by two different gospels and by 3.5 years. These stories should tell you what's going to happen. The apostles didn't know the Lord. They were unseasoned. They were illiterate almost, most of them. And simple fishermen, nobodies. And the Lord called them. And this fishing was one of the biggest parts of his calling them. When they caught the fish, they couldn't handle it. They couldn't take in all the fish. They broke the nets, and the boats began to sink. The fish were so heavy. They couldn't handle it. Does that sound like anybody you know? Sounds like me and you to me. There's a lot of things we can't handle. Now, there's all kinds of meanings to the fish and the nets and everything else. And that's all good to know. And that's sort of background for the story. So I hope you know it. I hope you read the scripture enough so you know what the nets mean and what the fish mean. But with all that background knowledge, what's so powerful to me every time I read these stories is that we had men who were incapable of being in the presence of God. Peter wanted him to leave because he was so afraid. And then they went through 3.5 years. And we can see in the record of the Gospels that sometimes they didn't act very smart. Sometimes they were full of pride and they were arguing with one another. Even to the end, Peter was afraid, even after he had made a promise that he would never depart from the Lord. He was afraid, and he denied him 3 times. And all the disciples ran away. Even John came back to be in the praetorium for the trial, but he was still afraid. Everybody was afraid. And then the Lord is resurrected. And even before the coming of the Holy Spirit, the disciples have some strength within them from the 3.5 years of work and success and failure. And so when they catch all those fish, they can handle it now. The nets don't break. And the boats don't sink. And Peter, when he knows it's the Lord, can hardly wait to get to them. He won't even wait the few minutes that it'll take for the boat to get to the shore. He wants to swim ahead of the boat. This is our life, brothers and sisters. This gives me great hope that we can change. Whatever in you that's broken, it can be changed. Do you really believe that? My experience as a pastor that some of you don't. And it makes your life a very unhappy life. You should have a transcendent life. A life where, as Scripture says, we are more than conquerors. You're conquering your sin. It's getting better every time. Every day you're getting better. So, this story should tell you that you have the potential, you have the ability to become great. I don't mean great in a worldly sense. I don't care about any of that stuff. You shouldn't either. But I'm talking about to become full of light, full of fire, full of the Spirit, full of wisdom and knowledge and purity. And you look at yourself right now and you say, there's not that much knowledge, there isn't that much purity. Sure enough, isn't much wisdom. But God will work with you. It's a process. It takes a lot of time. One of my little hobbies, I suppose you could call it, is I love to see in the Scripture the various sort of definitions of salvation. There's a lot of them. Of course, my favorite one is to know God. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Jesus said that in his high priestly prayer. But there are many other definitions, if you will, of salvation. Salvation is the perfection of the soul. Salvation is the changing of the soul from darkness to light. I was recently in West Texas, in a ranch, and I would get up early and I'd wait for the sun to rise. And I was really amazed at how it would be dark for a long, long time. And then it would be light, but just barely light, for a long time. It seemed like it was taking forever for the sun to rise. And on a kind of cloudy day, I didn't see the sun until 8:30 in the morning, even though, of course, it was light by then. But the sun was rising. It was there. It was going to come. So the Lord is going to help you. The story tells you that. Now, this story is an example of how I want you to read the Scriptures. It's very important to read the Scriptures correctly. If you read them just only for the superficial knowledge that's in them, then, you know, you might as well read a gardening magazine. It's not what the soul needs. What the soul needs is to have things penetrate into it. Whenever I read this story, it definitely penetrates. It gives me great hope. Because I've got a lot of things in my life that are undone. I don't see a way that they'll get done. But the Lord knows how to finish everything. So after 3.5 years, Peter, who said, Lord, depart from me because I'm a sinful man, swam to the Lord because he wanted to be at his side. So that's our life. Our life is struggle, but struggle with purpose and with conviction. You're going to change. I'll tell you a little anecdote from when I was down in Indian Creek in West Texas. I got up early and I was looking at the stars, and Venus was very, very bright, but it was a cloudy day. And so I'm looking at Venus, and then I look away for a moment, and all of a sudden I look up, Venus is gone. Of course, it wasn't gone. A cloud had covered it. And 5 minutes, 10 minutes later, the cloud moved, and there was Venus again, shining just as brightly as before. So, God is always with us. God is always bright. Sometimes our clouds cover his light, but he's always there. And he's always going to help you. He's always going to bring you to completion. So I want you to believe that. As a pastor, I want you to know that. I've told you before, I don't really care about your sins. God doesn't either. I don't care how weak you are. God doesn't either. God's strong. He doesn't care about weakness. God can forgive sins. He doesn't care about sins. What he cares about, and what I care about as your pastor, is, do you want to change? Do you want to put off your sin, or are you kind of happy where you are? Do you think very much about your sin? When you look at yourself in the mirror, shall we say, in a metaphorical way, who do you see? See a pretty good guy? I don't see a good guy when I look in the mirror. I see a bad guy who wants to get better. And I know God will make me better. because I know stories like this. And I know examples in my own life where things have gotten better. Sometimes very, very slowly. Most of the time, very slowly. So right now, you and I, we're in that 3.5 year period. From when the nets break to the point where we can contain all of God's grace. Make the best use of your time. God bless you.